Jay, happy Monday. Good to talk to you.
Pleasant. Good morning to you.
Jay, let's start with this bird that struck an American Airlines plane and forced it to return to LaGuardia's airport in New York. This flight was bound for Charlotte here in our area.
It was, and it was, you know, we have bird strikes every day. A lot of times they'll hit the wing or the front of the aircraft, landing gear, cockpit windshield, something along that line. But this is one that was ingested into the right engine. And what makes it a little bit different, Chris, was we had a passenger who was actually filming the takeoff and caught the moment when the bird was, well, went into the engine. The crew executed a return to LaGuardia. It was an emergency landing, but the bottom line is you can shut down the one engine and fly across the country on the other engine without any problem at all. But the protocol is that when you have a situation where you have an engine that is impacted like that, you do what you're supposed to do, and you go from there. So as you look at this, it's going to be interesting to see the report as far as how fast they responded and all, because I think the crew did a perfect job here. And some anxious moments for people on board the flight. But look, as long as it's not a double bird ingestion, then we're okay. As long as you get that one engine running, it's going to be an okay situation.
And you say emergency landing. It kind of sparked this in my mind. Not every emergency landing is created equal, right?
It's not, and it's protocol. Because
sure.
You now are down to one engine, which means that you're the redundancy or the backup or plan C, if you will, if you lose the second engine, becomes a little bit more problematic. So by declaring an emergency, it gives them priority over everybody. The other aircraft are moved out of the way. They've got the priority to land. Fire trucks are normally dispatched to the end of the runway, again, only as a part of the process. And, you know, people see the fire trucks and it's like, oh my gosh, we're going to die. No, they're just there because they're supposed to be there because an emergency was declared. Rarely are they ever used. They're just there in position just in case. So that's one of the reasons that those things happen. But, you know, the bird strikes happen every day. And you see mechanics out there all the time inspecting aircraft because they had some sort of a bird impact. And, you know, bottom line is we can't keep birds away from airports. Birds are going to go where they go. And, you know, we're going to do everything we can to minimize that, obviously. But humanly speaking, there's only so much you can do to control the wildlife.
You know, we talked about clearing the runway and giving these emergency landings priority. Well, that's a good segue into this next topic with a report that just came out that shows a Southwest Airlines flight was cleared to land on a runway that was already occupied.
Yeah, this happened in Long Beach. Actually, happened in October. Oh. The National Transportation Safety Board is just now releasing a report on it as far as the initial report. They're not going to have an open investigation, but the FAA is looking into it because they had a Southwest flight that was cleared to land, and they did. And but there was an aircraft that was already on the runway, and that was on the other side. But when the Southwest flight landed, they indicated for them to stop as soon as they could. They did. I think they had 850 feet separation between the two. So there wasn't anything where lives were immediately in peril. But how do you allow a Southwest Airlines flight to be cleared on a runway that already has an aircraft on it? So, again, it's just another situation of how did this happen and what can we do to prevent it from ever happening again, because that kind of stuff just shouldn't occur.
We've heard a lot recently about these drones in the Northeast, and there was one of these unidentified drones that forced a closure of an airport in New York. Now, this is all just kind of wild to me, all the drones and everything that we're talking about here the last couple of weeks.
It's insanity. It literally is insane. When you look at the most powerful country on the planet that has a rash of drone sightings, we've had 3 weeks, 5,000 sightings and reports. You've got every agency in D.C. saying, oh, don't worry. And then they say, well, we don't know what it is, but don't worry. And we're like, wait a minute. You've got the Stewart Airport in New York, as you mentioned, closed because of drone activity. Wright-Patterson Air Force Base in Dayton also closed due to drone activity in the area. And you've got all of this going on, and we remain clueless. I mean, we look like absolute idiots as the world looks at us as these things keep buzzing around with zero response from either law enforcement or military. Now, they may be something that's being tested. I don't know. But the idea that there's this narrative of, you know, well, who knows, it's just ridiculous. And it reminds me of that balloon that went across the country. You know, we're just that one, at least we knew who it was from as it drifted from one coast to the other. But these drones are just out of hand. And one of the things that bothers me the most is this lack of action on our part, one way or another. If any of these things get close to a commercial airport where they come in close proximity with an aircraft, well, you're talking about a very dangerous situation. And I don't want to be, you know, talking about what we could have done to better protect lives if any of these things impact an aircraft. You just can't have it.
There's already some regulation in terms of drones. Do we need to have more regulation about these drones, Jay?
Well, you know, we've got regulations right now that say that, you know, you've got a ceiling of like 400 feet, line of sight, avoid restricted areas, those types of things. So we've got the rules in place. And, you know, when you've got a million drones that are out there flying around all over the place, and the FAA is desperately trying to keep up with everything, they're doing the best they can. But here you have a situation where we don't know who these drones belong to. Now, you know, I was waiting for somebody to be in the back of their yard, not that I'm suggesting this, with a beer saying, well, I'll shoot one of these things down and see who comes to pick it up. You know, that would be an indication. But the thing that bothers me is a lot of times you'll have law enforcement helicopters or things in the area around these six-foot drones, and they don't follow them to see where they go to. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's all you'd have to do is just track one of these bad boys to wherever it came from. And if it's from the ocean, from a ship, if it's from somewhere, you know, as far as a base or something. And when you're not seeing that done, it makes you wonder exactly what is taking place. But just the idea that we don't know, we keep asking questions, and we look clueless is something that bothers me a great deal. Because, I mean, if the country can be shut down by drones, that's kind of a scary situation.
What are hub delays today, Jay?
Got quite a bit. Seattle, San Francisco, soon to be Detroit. This morning, the New York airport's getting hammered with rain and wind causing delays of close to an hour.
Wow. Okay, let's let you go. Where can folks go to contact you, Jay, if they've got problems with their airline?
JRatliff.com is the website to go to, and especially if an airline's giving you a problem on current or past problems, reach out to me as quickly as I can. I'll respond, and we'll make sure to hold the airline's account.
He's our aviation analyst, Jay Ratliff, joining us this time every Monday. Jay, thanks for the time. Have a great week. We'll talk to you next week.
Looking forward to it.
Me too.